Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Freedom Wire. I was about to say your last bastion for free speech.
That's old. We're still
that's old school.
Old school.
We are still that, but we're also your number one source for patriotic truth. Connor, Ryan, Sean, we're here today to talk to you about the crazy leftists and the Iranian conflict that's going on right now. We can't wait to just tear into these people. So, but before we get into that, we got to do a few things. We got to pay our bills. So please do us a favor, like the video, share the video, comment on the video. What do you think about this, how the leftists are willing to weaken America in order to get Donald Trump out of the White House? Please comment below. Also, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast and hit the notifications bell. That way you'll know every time a new episode is up. Also, if you like the swag that you see, the hats, the shirts, the mugs, we also got all kinds of other stuff, please go to freedomwire.com and go to the store tab at the top of the page. Also, while you're there, please sign up for the newsletter. You'll get a couple mailings daily letting you know about the stories that are important to conservatives like you, like us, and things you won't hear about in the mainstream media because they are feckless. All right, boys.
Good vocab word there.
Yes. Okay.
All right, so
Let's take a vote. Who's more mad about the way liberals and leftists are treating this whole drone strike?
Well, Ryan brought notes to talk about how mad he is, but you specifically put on your Trump hat.
I put on my Trump hat.
Just 'cause you're angry about
it. Oh, man. Hey, always defer to the Trump hat.
Yeah, I mean, I have been fighting with, like, you guys know how I love to get on the old interwebs and fight with the liberals on social media. I was in one today with a guy that he posted a picture of Khomeini saying that the death to America chants were only against Trump and not the rest of America. And we heard people saw that before. And I go, and you believe him. I said, you're going to take the word of a religious zealot that is fine killing his own people.
Literally
killing
1,500 people that we know of in the last month alone.
Yeah, killing his own people. You're going to take his word over your own president? I go, let me ask you a question. How does it feel to have your hate for somebody override your sense of patriotism? Because that's exactly what you're doing.
Not only that, your own national security.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump is trying to defend all of us by doing that.
And if I recall correctly, death to America chants have been heard all throughout the Middle East since long before Trump was ever in the political scene.
At least since 1979.
1979. That's what cracks me up, because I heard this earlier. They were talking about how this is only they're only mad at Trump. I go, they've hated Americans since 1979. That should be a shirt. Iran hating Americans since 1979, because that's what it was. And of course, we all know they took our hostages for 444 days. This is nothing new. You know, we have Happy Hour in America. They have Death to America Hour every day. I mean, they really do. They have like certain times of the day where they all go out and say Death to America. But and the media is just, They like call them anything but what they are, which is savage terrorists, American killing pieces of POSs. They'll call them mourners and protesters. They'll beat around the bush. They'll say, you know, they'll almost like, did you see the way they covered Khomeini yesterday? How he spoke at the funeral. He's like, he got emotional and he lost his friend. I go, good. I hope, yeah, he'll soon join him in the underworld someday too as well. Yeah, you'll get to see him. It'll be a lot hotter than in the Middle East.
Did you see the way, did you see what the New York Times said this time about, instead of calling, like how they called al-Baghdadi a austere
religious scholar?
The Washington Post ran that one.
Austere religious scholar. Yeah.
I think they mentioned something about him.
And now this guy was a esteemed military leader. Right. He was a military leader. Yeah. He led their terrorist-backed forces.
You know how esteemed military leaders do things of go to another country and help terrorist forces attack an embassy.
Okay, let's talk about this. This isn't the first embassy he has attacked. Hmm. This man was responsible for Benghazi. That's what all the intelligence reports that I've read have talked about, that this man was the mastermind of Benghazi.
Actually, I've read that, but
I've seen those same reports.
Have you?
He had a hand in Benghazi, at least.
Yeah.
You know, coordinating with forces, because that's what this guy was always doing. It's not like he was out there actively shooting people, but he was training people, and him and his proxies were there initiating conflicts all over the place. What was the statistic? Like 17%?
17% of troops in just Iraq, but that doesn't include every other country. Yeah, so here's the thing, media. You're saying Trump's starting a war with Iran. We've been in a war with Iran for 40 years. I mean, it might not be a direct, you know, mano a mano, 250,000 troops into Iran war, but they have been fighting us all throughout the Middle East, trying to undermine our interests, kill our people. This has been going on for decades. So to say that Trump, this is a Trump phenomenon, he wakes up one morning, he's like, I'm going to start a war with Iran. You know, that is just not true. They know that's not true. They're lying.
Right. You know what the leftists are pointing back to? Trump pulling out of the nuclear deal, the Iran nuclear deal.
Yeah, that was predictable.
Iran just came out, it was either yesterday or the day before, where they officially announced they were no longer abiding by the Iran nuclear deal.
They didn't need to officially announce it.
We all knew they were not abiding by the nuclear deal from basically day one. And there were legit news stories being run even back then about how, you know, they were...
It was business as usual.
Yeah, like all they did was got America off their back by having a deal with Obama, and then they just went back to whatever they were doing because they didn't care.
Yeah, I mean, so I mentioned we've been in a, you know, basically a cold, not even a cold war, it's been a firing war at times throughout the last 40 years, but have you noticed when it's picked, and when it really picked up on the last few years? Oh, it seems like 2015, 2016, around there, when the Iran nuclear deal was made. It was like a little after, you know, they gave a little grace period so they could get their deal done or whatever. And then all of a sudden, they're kind of emboldened. And I think they underestimated Trump, too, because, as we mentioned before, Trump doesn't like foreign conflict. You know, he's averse. But we know where his red line is. You kill Americans, he's going to kill you back.
But you see...
Seriously, that's an important distinction.
Once
Americans are attacked.
Well, think about this.
Yeah.
Think about what could have... How many years ago when the Iranian forces boarded was it a marine vessel?
It was like naval. It wasn't very long ago. It was like 2 years ago.
I can't remember
if it was before Trump or not, but
I for some reason I'm thinking it was before Trump.
I think it wasn't very long before.
But
it wasn't
they
long.
Boarded the vessel, had our men on their knees with their hands behind their heads. Mm-hmm. That was then. That could have been an act of war.
Yeah.
This year alone, they shot down an American drone. They've had rocket attacks against American interests. They've also started seizing allies' ships in the Strait of Hormuz.
The British merchant ship, too. They took that.
They blew up oil fields in Saudi Arabia that were critically important to basically the global economy.
Yeah.
So it's not just America. They've been aggressive.
They've been trying
to establish themselves.
The drone. Do you remember what happened with the drone?
And Trump almost fired back on it at the last minute.
They said they didn't. They shot down a drone.
It's not a proportionate response.
That's why it's an important distinction, it's an important point to make, is when they kill an American, Trump will not
sit
around.
But these people that are calling, saying Trump is starting wars in the Middle East, Trump is not starting this war. Trump has done whatever he's been able to do to avoid the conflict over there.
Like, literally, when he could have shot, it was within minutes of shooting down, you know, shooting back at Iran after that drone. We talked about it at the time.
Yeah.
We all agreed it was a good decision. You know, because but he also didn't draw a red line like Obama and then never enforced it with Syria. So you have to, it goes back to peace through strength works. It just does throughout our history. And I know, again, I kind of went after some of our libertarian friends on the last podcast. I just don't agree with my foreign policy. When America recedes from the world, we are far more exposed, and so are our allies. When we're not, that puts us more in danger.
For sure.
And history shows it. That's not me. That's history. It shows it.
And speaking of, you know, what Obama was doing, if you recall, he had almost 3,000, I think it was, drone strikes throughout his time.
2,800.
In Syria and other places in the Middle East, and nobody said anything about that because it seemed like it was, you know, kind of working. Of course, you know, with the nuclear deal thrown in there, it kind of fell apart.
It reminds me of that Batman meme with the Joker.
Which,
if you're a Democrat, you can fire 2,800 drone or have 2,800 drone strikes.
Nobody panics when it's all according to plan.
But if your name's Trump and you kill one terrorist, then suddenly everybody loses their minds.
Yeah, well, that's an important jumping off point to talk about, to turn it over to Congress right now and Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. Now, they all of a sudden, no, we weren't informed. We need authorization. He needs to go to Congress through authorization. And like
no,
you said,
he doesn't.
No, but before we even get to that, 2,800 times, like you said, Obama did it. I don't remember Pelosi getting up and... He didn't let us know. He didn't let us. That's my Pelosi, by the way. He didn't let. And then her face has got Botox and everything too. I can't do that. But anyway, all those times that he did that, and they didn't give a crap. Trump does. I couldn't believe it when that happened. I mean, like in the back of my mind now with the Democrats, I'm usually expecting the worst. But I'm like, this one is like they can't on this one, right, guy? I mean, he's a terrible guy.
Never gonna get them to defend the terrorists. And then they did.
Here's the thing. I wrote the same thing today. Do you remember how we've talked about? It's been a joke on the right for a while. Trump could cure cancer tomorrow, and the leftists would come out and say how bad he is for putting oncologists out of work.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And this is that's down that same vein. This is him killing a known terrorist responsible personally for at least 600 lives, American lives, not just lives, but American lives. And now we have leftists defending and memorializing and mourning a terrorist leader?
Well, and that I want to dispel another myth that they keep putting out there. Well, it's not a myth, it's true. But they not the point they're trying to make. They go, well, Bush and Obama administration has both decided they could have taken this action years ago and they should have killed him. I go, because they should have. They're trying to make an awesome point. I'm like, well, clearly they were wrong because this guy's continued to kill Americans for years after Bush left office and Obama left office. You had defeated your own point.
Here's my only, like, what maybe my only hitch in the giddy up. Whenever you kill a leader of that stature, there's a power vacuum, and you have people that are that try to rush in to fill that void by, like, one-upping what was there before.
It's the question of, you know, the devil you know versus the devil you don't.
Yeah, but this is a general.
It's a different thing.
It's like Khomeini.
No, I know, I understand. But this guy might as well have been. He was given a very long leash. Yeah. And
he was on track, by most reports, to be the next leader of Iran.
The next prime minister?
Yeah, once Khomeini was gone.
Or was it president?
It's President Khomeini.
Ahmadinejad.
No, that's the old dude. Where you're at. It's Rouhani.
Whatever the official title of
Ahmadinejad was a nutcase, though.
Yeah.
But Soleimani was on track to potentially be the next guy in charge of Iran.
He's on track now.
Yeah, he's on track to.
Tracks over here. He's on tracks over there.
AC/DC song that would describe where he's on a highway to.
Yeah. Anyway. Literally, in both.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Did you see how they were flying him home, by the way?
Yes, in coach.
In coach.
Wasn't that great?
In a box.
In a box.
Jeez, you couldn't even put him in Delta Comfort? Like, like it was a little extra leg room.
Yeah, it's not like he needs the leg room.
But, you know, his coffin. Anyway, whatever.
And hey, look, I'm not going to apologize either for celebrating the death of a terrorist leader whose job has been to kill people.
You know why?
Because it's evil.
Well, no, but also because we're Americans. Mm-hmm. He was killing our countrymen.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it does matter.
No, it does not matter.
This is why I say it, because you can't say that in public anymore. Like, they were like, in the media, like, they'll be like, oh, you're bloodthirsty. We're like, no, because I do put my country first.
Well, this is putting the, technically, this is
yeah,
putting the
Western
world
civilization.
First.
Yeah.
It's putting the world first.
It's putting Western
the world is a better place without this man in it. And to say anything different is a falsehood, or you are just, again, you are just so hateful against Donald Trump that you will, whatever he does that's good, you will say it's bad. And that's what the leftists are doing.
See, the response we could have predicted from people on the left when this happened was them saying, oh, you know, he acted too soon, you shouldn't have taken out a leader, that's a whole thing, it might cause a war. But what you saw, they rushed right past that in the first day or two and immediately jumped to, like, he wasn't that bad of a guy and all this stuff, that like actively defending him instead of just saying, you made a bad decision with the timing. They're trying to defend the guy personally. They someone uploaded videos of him reading poetry as if to say, like, oh, he couldn't have been that bad of a guy.
But if he's reading
he
poetry.
He read poetry, so no one who's ever read poetry has also committed murder.
But it kind of goes back to a little bit. So, obviously, Trump, that definitely takes it to the next level where they're putting, you know, their own hatred to Trump about national interests. But there's always this undergird, there's always this thing under the surface of they make moral equivalencies between us and them. They think that we are just as bad as them, or worse. And like we had it coming to us.
Like what?
Don't you know what I mean? There's always that underneath. There's
like what
always,
Kaepernick said. Did you?
Yeah.
Hear, did
yes.
You,
yeah. There's always that implication. Without them, some people do say it, but some like, well, if we only, and this is where I don't like libertarians on this. If we were only not there, then this would never have happened.
I couldn't tell what was more disgusting, Colin Kaepernick's tweet or Rose McGowan's tweet.
Oh, those are tied for worst hot take on the Trump strike.
Despicable.
Yeah, Kaepernick, who said that, you know, America has always gone out and terrorized black and brown cultures for the sake of imperialism. Why he felt the need to make this about race, we'll never know.
Yeah,
but that's just his.
You
thing.
Know who kills a lot of black and brown people? Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Their own people. But, okay, Kaepernick, read a damn newspaper sometime, you moron.
And then Rose with, we are under...
52% of this country doesn't support Trump. We're being held hostage by a madman. Please don't kill us. We're sorry.
Yes.
Which, that's equally disgusting.
It's
right
equally
there.
Disgusting.
Do you guys at home feel like you're being held hostage right now?
By the way, if you feel like... there's a difference between being held hostage and not being held hostage. If she was being held hostage... she couldn't move to another country.
She also wouldn't have access to a phone to tweet that.
Hey, Rose, you also know who holds hostages? Iranians. Read a history book.
Or, if you don't believe us, go there.
Yeah, that's
well,
a good
see
one.
See you
right
in 444 days.
Well, she'll go there, but they might treat her nice. She'd just be a propaganda tool, though.
Yeah, like
like, oh, look, he's great.
Saigon.
Hanoi Jane. And she's treated like Hollywood royalty.
Exactly. But... you see these people freaking out. Ilhan Omar is outraged that...
somebody did something?
Some people did something. This was just another one of the instances. Exactly. That was a good one. Chuck Schumer was furious that he wasn't informed. Last time I checked, Chuck Schumer wasn't in the chain of command.
Well, first
he has
of all...
no more
it
right
would have been
to,
leaked anyway.
Yeah, he has no more right to be notified than you or I do. Yeah.
And here's the thing. What, as per the Constitution, Trump is the commander-in-chief. He can.
But he can't declare war. That's
he can't declare war, but he can use our assets however he sees fit.
And here's an important thing to note that kind of helps understand this whole thing. Had he done this drone strike in Iran, there might have been a case of saying he went over Congress's head and he shouldn't have done that. The drone strike happened in Iraq. Iraq is already a congressionally approved war zone. So... he's acting within what was already approved by Congress. He doesn't need a whole other thing of, you know, go get permission from...
this has always been a debate, and I don't want to have it on this podcast because we have a limited time, but it is important to debate the War Powers Act and, you know, Congress and the president. How much authority does he have? Should he have to attack? That kind of stuff. But let's be honest, though. That's not what the Democrats are really care about. They just care about hamstringing the president.
Right.
And not to mention... at this point, how weak does that make our country look? That now the Iranians are watching. They got the news. They can see that the Democratic one of the parties in America is trying to undermine the president of the United States by taking his power away to retaliate against him. So what do you think Iran's going to do? What do you think they're just going to sit around?
Yeah,
they're going to see that.
Well,
if they might.
You say that. They might wait until
2020.
That's true.
The election.
That's right. The Democrats
Trump's not in anymore.
No, that's a great point.
Powerful.
That's a great point. Exactly. So why? Maybe they'll just be like, and then they're like, oh, they'll forget about us in the meantime. We'll just get to layer. Yeah. I mean, the Democrats are making us less safe.
And there's something I think a lot of people have overlooked. One of the men that was killed with Soleimani was an Iraqi general.
Yeah, that's true, because Iraq...
nobody's talking about that.
Yeah, who cares about that guy?
Why is there an Iraqi general...
hey, Iraqi general, you're welcome for your country.
Why is there an Iraqi general hanging out with an Iranian terrorist? You know what I'm saying? Nobody's talking about this.
Well, nobody's been... They never actively tried to stop... They had to have known Iran was going to start attacking the embassy. Like, they had to...
Did you hear how weird it was? The people that were supposed to be defending that embassy, the Iranian or Iraqi troops that were supposed to be defending that, were like stationed somewhere else.
Yeah, there was
like
a lot
there
of
was support, there was a little there was like a, there was like some chess playing going on there.
There was also a lot of Iraqis that were protesting the Iranians too. There, that media very they covered that like that much. There was because a lot of the everyday Iraqis know how bad the Soleimani and those guys are too.
I say this all the time, and you guys have heard me say it. It seems like we're taking crazy pills. It really does. It seems like we are taking... This world seems... Or the left seems crazy, and it almost makes you question your own sanity. Like, what am I missing here? What am I missing here that about a dead terrorist that it may, that this has become a partisan issue? But it's like trying to... You know, it's I don't know.
Right.
Again,
or if they do acknowledge that he's a bad guy, they'll say, "Yeah, it's not my bad guy." But
Trump's
I go, there
worse.
Is no, 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 yeah. no, no. They go, but well, he should
have gotten
us know,
Trump's
but,
worse.
Yeah, but you know, but they, yeah, but that, or but they should let he should let us know. I'm like, no, there is no but. Like that, I mean, he should be a dead man.
And maybe Trump
many years ago.
Maybe Trump could have notified everybody, but look at the political climate we're in right now, where everything gets selectively leaked just to undercut Trump. He could have said that, and then, oh, you know, Adam Schiff or whoever gets on Twitter.
Especially Adam Schiff.
Yeah. Post it out just because they're mad at Trump, and oh, suddenly this guy knows, hey, there's a drone over my head right now, I should move.
Oh, he wants to hold public hearings.
Yeah, no. About whether it was legal or not.
Yeah.
I can't wait for somebody to replace Adam Schiff. I'm telling you, there is a special place in hell for that man. There really is, because he is the slimiest. If he's this slimy in the public eye, imagine what he's like behind closed doors.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Yeah.
His public credibility has to be shot after this, even with impeachment moving forward. And nobody likes or trusts him at this point, even most likely people on his own side.
Yeah, exactly. Before we've closed out here. Can I read a couple of these? These are good. These are the media. These are the media take on the death of Soleimani. Michael Barbaro of the New York. I'm sure I butchered that name. Of the New York Times highlighted the amazing images and audio from the NPR team, National Public Radio. They took footage and stuff of the marches. Several hours earlier, Barbaro posted a bizarre podcast interview with Times reporter Helene Cooper, in which Cooper lamented that the U.S. military was tragically very good at killing people. That's their job. Like what? Anyway, so here's another one. Oh, Martha Raddatz from ABC News. She's always good. ABC News Martha Raddatz donned a mandatory headscarf and walked among the massive, these are her words, massive and emotional crowds of mourners. She declared that the Iranian people were united against America. Well, that's good to know. I'm glad. Yeah, thank you, Martha.
Nice that they're so free in a place
yeah,
where women are mandated
exactly.
to wear headscarves.
Meanwhile, they were, what's the word? Not blackmailed, but they were coerced with food in order to attend these things. They were paid. They were threatened in order to go.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, but the authorities found out they were skipping this giant funeral. All right, here's the last one. The Associated Press published a touch. This is my favorite. The Associated Press published a touching piece on Ayatollah Khamenei's rare display of emotion at the funeral of the terrorist general, with whom he shared a deep bond. The AP noted that the Iranian despot's voice cracked under the weight of the moment as he cried openly while mourning the death of his friend.
Well, what's funny is they use a word like despot, but like...
But they're, I mean, you
it's,
don't...
It's like talking about a mixed message.
Right, but you don't write it this way unless you have some sympathy for the...
I'm glad he's crying. I would like to make him cry more.
I mean, here's the thing. Even bad people can experience emotion. You saw Kim Jong-un cried at his father's funeral. Yeah, like, because true, that was his father, but... Neither one of them is a good person. They're both pretty terrible. They are both against our country. So just because they experience emotion doesn't mean we can't touch them because, look, he's crying, and it would be wrong to do anything against a man who's capable of crying.
Yeah, but you know what's funny is I long for the spirit of that America had after 9/11. You know, I never would want a 9/11, but... The day
9/12 America was a different
America
place to live.
was Just thinking about it, I get goosebumps because, you know, I was almost 30 when that happened. Don't you say a word. So I have a very vivid memory of that time and those and what was going on, and the camaraderie and the united front that America had was beyond it's beyond description, really. You know, we had the yellow ribbons.
The ribbons, yeah.
And like it was just a different feeling, and we
respected first responders,
right?
As a country, remember that?
Yeah, and our troops. Mm-hmm. But you know, and that was there's so much we could talk about.
Yeah, well, because, we've done a 9/11 episode before.
Well, no, I don't even mean like that, but I mean like now we have liberals saying, "All right, MAGA people, go ahead and sign up for the army."
Oh, yeah.
Because I was going to bring this up. The biggest trending thing the day after the drone strike, and now the number one meme trend that I'm seeing anywhere, is World War III. This is going to cause a third world war. We are all going to be drafted, and we're all going
to
die.
I would like them, since they're all geopolitical experts, to explain how that's going to happen.
All these foreign policies
come
out of the world. Well, no, it's, I think it's because Iran is...
And they have an alliance with Russia and China.
Do they have a pact, though, where if one is attacked, the other would interfere?
We're not going to go to war with Russia and China.
We'd have to send 250,000 troops.
Yeah, because we've fought in conflicts against Russia and China before, and they were all proxy wars, where we go somewhere and Vietnam and Korea were good examples of that. You know, we were fighting communists there because the movements of the Russians were threatening to America. So you see, we move around these smaller wars, but we're never going to get into these massive conflicts with each other. World War III is not going to happen
that. And already, Iran has no allies that will step up. And
that's my point. Like, if they, you have to understand.
Yeah, because no matter how much Iran wants to go to war with America, maybe we can do that. But Russia is not going to get involved on their side. No. Russia would maybe give them weapons under the table, but they are going to stay far removed from that because they're not going to go to war with the United States.
There'll be a lot of rhetoric about how bad and evil America is.
Mm-hmm. Well, to make them their heads pop off more, I'm going to say that I think this could arguably have been the best decision Trump has made in his presidency.
Did you hear what?
Definitely the most consequential.
Did you hear what Petraeus said?
Yes, yeah, former General Petraeus. Yeah,
he may have reinstituted a deterrent against violence against America.
One more thing. The important journalist of our event of our times is the CNN reporting that Trump had ice cream after he ordered the airstrikes at Mar-a-Lago. No, it's very important that we all know this.
Did they announce what kind of ice cream?
No, they did. See, they. We need another report. We need open hearings on this. Adam Schiff, get on this. We need to find out what ice cream Donald J. Trump was having when he ordered the death of the General Soleimani.
Watch me the Bernie Sanders flavor of Ben and Jerry's.
Oh, I haven't had that one. Yeah, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah. These people are a joke. That was literally, you can look it up online, this was a story on CNN.
It was. And before we close out, I can't really read it on air, but do yourself a favor and read Sean Spicer's response on Twitter.
It is good. It's
probably the Twitter response to this whole thing that you need to hear. And it's poignant and short and to the point.
Well, we got one less American enemy today.
That is true.
Thank you, President
Trump. And I'm sure this is going to be the only time we talk about this. Hopefully it'll be the last time this week, but you never know. Probably some other stuff is going to come up from this. And
anything's better than impeachment, right?
Anything is better than impeachment.
We're not done with that.
So please let us know what you think. Comment on this video. How do you feel? Do you think Trump made the correct decision by taking Soleimani out? Of course you do. But let us know. Say it below.
Just go more in depth than what you think.
Yes. Also, again, please, if you can, like the video, share it. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast and hit that notifications bell. Also, again, one more time, we're going to shill our goods. If you could please go to freedomwire.com and go to the shop tab at the top of the page. Or is it the store tab?
I don't know.
Either way, get a hat, get a freedom mug, get a rad shirt. They're all there for your purchase. And while you're there, do yourself a favor and subscribe to our daily newsletter. That way you'll get the stories that you know are important and don't have that leftist liberal spin on.
You can also get these cool mugs, $9.99. 15 ounces, extra 3 ounces over the competitors.
I already said that, by the way.
Never
hurts to remind them. Other than that, do you guys have anything you want to say?
That's about it.
I just want to. I'm gonna go find out what ice cream he was eating.
All right, awesome.
Yeah.
So until next time, two things. Number one, Epstein didn't kill himself, and number two, stay free, America.